Call meeting to order.
Okay, the finance portion, roll call please.
Supervisor Gens.
Here.
Frederick.
Here.
Kubicki.
Here.
Uhas.
Here.
Wambo.
Here.
Palmaville.
Here.
Franco.
Here.
John Cargill. Carly Lois.
Here.
John is excused, he did call me.
Human Services. We have Andy Berg.
Here.
Jerry Gully.
Here.
Terry Rose. Not here. Sandra Beth excused. Aaron Decker. Not here. Kim Lewis.
There. There's hold on. Okay. Rose.
Others are on too.
Supervisor Rose is here, if it could be noted. And Supervisor Decker. Okay. Are there any citizens' comments? Are there any citizens' comments?
Those citizens' comments will be for both meetings, so if anybody wants to speak, now's the time. Seeing none, go ahead.
We have number 4 on the list, resolution approving an intergovernmental agreement between the County of Kenosha and the City of Kenosha, amending the Health Department agreement. Portions of county trunk highways K and H, conveyance of properties, and repair of the revetment wall. I'll turn it over to Mr. Arbit and Mr. Carter.
Good evening, everybody. So I'm hoping everybody got a chance to read through the document. Fairly lengthy, came together fairly quickly. Put it in context. Most of the board members know the items on here are not new to the county or the city. Most of these items are items that have been bouncing back and forth for the past, probably at least 10 years. And you would ask me 10 days ago, or probably even 7 days ago, if this document was going to exist, I would tell you it wasn't even on my radar. But bottom line is, the mayor and the county executive got together and tried in an attempt to work things out on things that have been contentious kind of between the city and the county for the past probably decade, in an attempt to resolve a bunch of stuff so that the new administration on the county side and an eventual new administration someday on the city side wouldn't have to deal with some of these things that have been bouncing around. So that was kind of the context of why this thing came into existence. I'll walk through, and I'm not going to go line by line, although I know some of you would like me to. I'm just going to hit the high points, though, because I think there's some key things in here that everybody should be aware of. The first item that really was one of the things that has kind of had some back and forth between the city and the county is having to do with County Highway K. But if you look at page 5, it's really where kind of the meat of the matter as it relates to County Highway K comes into play. There's 3 segments that have been defined now that are all in their county highway jurisdiction right now. This basically sets things up for all 3 of those segments to be transferred jurisdictionally to the city in January 1st, 2135. The three segments are, the first one is from the UP Railroad tracks, which is the one right next to Indian Trail, all the way to 94th Court. That's the project that actually was just bid out and is going to be taking place this year for construction. That's the first phase. That goes to just west of H. 94th Court is the road that goes south into that subdivision on the south side of K. The next segment is from 94th Court to 115th Avenue, which is if you travel past what was the old dog track, 115th Avenue is the road that goes south into that subdivision. Actually, it's where either Franco is.
Kilbourne Woods.
Yep. So that's the second segment. The third segment is from that 115th Avenue west to 128th Avenue, which is the road that heads just north. It's just west of the West Frontage Road, about half mile, and heads north and heads up actually to the U-Line and the city development that's occurred up there. Basically, what this document does is it takes those three segments and ties them together as one package and says, effective January 1, 2035, all of these should be completed by that time. They will then transfer to the city jurisdictionally for maintaining those going forward. There's also a key thing at the bottom of page 5 that talks about some of the funding, outside funding, that both the city and the county have access to, state and federal funds, to rebuild these roads. Some of the funds we would actually, at times, could compete with the city. This language clarifies things so that we won't ever be in competition for any of those funds. We'll work together when we need to do that to make sure that that road, all those three sections get done. So that's basically what's covered as it relates to Highway K in the document. So the next section has to do with Highway H, which starts on page 6. Highway H, again, if you can kind of picture that section, this really deals with the section between Highway 158 or 52nd Street north to Highway S. That section right now is not, there is no jurisdictional transfer to the city for that defined. This document defines that transfer, again, happening January 1, 2035. The segments of H south of there, between 158 going to Highway 50, those are already covered for jurisdictional transfer in previous agreements as those sections of road get rebuilt. So that's kind of what is in the package having to do with Highway H. Next thing I'll talk about, actually I'll turn it over to Joe at this point, I think, because the next thing has to do with the health department. And Joe's got more insight into how that works.
Thank you, Ray. I apologize, I'm dealing with the aftermath of a cold, which is why I'm masked up. As I know members of both committees are aware, for a number of years there has been, again, some dispute between the city and the county regarding the health department and the funding thereof. This likewise is an agreement between the mayor and the county executive to try and resolve those issues so that the parties can move forward and focus on what's important, which is making sure that those services are provided rather than fighting over issues relating to that. So the first thing is there are two elements of the original 1992 health agreement where the county agreed to enforce city health-related ordinances. Those are being removed, so those will no longer be the county health department's responsibility. It's Charter 26, which is really sort of a garbage and nuisance ordinance, and then a noise control ordinance. The other one, and frankly the more important piece of it, deals with the funding. And so rather than the formula that we've been using under that agreement for a number of years relating to calculating usage and costs, we're going to start with 2023 with a contribution from the city of $700,000. That contribution will be reduced by $100,000 each year, ending then at the end of 2029. At which point, there would be no further contribution directly from the city. Obviously, it will continue to be funded by the levy. City residents pay that, but there would no be direct additional contribution from the city to the health department.
I'll jump back and talk about the next section, which is on page 10.
Can you talk about that section?
Sure, go ahead.
the amount that the city pays back over those, was it somebody, how many years is it?
Seven.
The declining amount is, so in other words, we will no longer have to pay Maximus to do any.
That is correct.
So we'll save that $35,000 every year because Maximus will no longer have to keep track of anything.
Correct.
Okay,
yep.
I'll move on to the next item on page 10, which is the revetment wall, what's described as a revetment wall. Again, I think most of the committee folks are familiar with, this is the parcels that were taken on tax deed quite a while back on First Avenue between 71st Street and 75th Street. Those parcels are, I'm going to say, 70 to 80% part of Lake Michigan. They're underwater. They don't really exist. But that revetment wall is in danger, as is the revetment wall along the whole frontage, that shoreline that we've got. This is technically our property because we took them on tax deed. The city is, basically what this outlines is how the city will go about repairing that revetment wall. It ultimately will protect First Avenue there, which is really what's in danger. And it'll transfer ownership of those properties to the city as part of this as well. So it kind of ties up this loose end that's been bouncing around for a number of years as well. Next item is probably a little more obscure, not probably a whole bunch of folks know about it. This is has to do with city property that is right behind the hotel on the harbor. Right along the harbor, there's two parcels that are identified in the document, and there's a path that runs right along the harbor, but there's no connection of that path kind of back up to the street. And we've worked with the city a couple of times to try to develop a linkage, a small linkage, and we haven't been able to work that out. This document basically provides, the city will provide an easement for us to finish that little link of multi-use trail that goes across two parcels that the city owns so that that trail can be complete. And it's actually part of the Route of the Badger, which is part of our overall 2035, comprehensive bike plan. This would be a kind of a critical link. By getting this easement, that will fulfill, give us the capability of getting that link constructed. So that's what that does. The next one is again, a fairly obscure thing, but I know at least one supervisor in the room is familiar with this. This is the retention pond on 65th Street in the 5600 block. And it was originally developed as a retention pond when that subdivision around that area was developed. The homeowners association ceases to exist. The retention pond fell into disrepair, and bottom line is there was some flooding in that area 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we had some big rains. I know Supervisor Nuto was aware because he's the one that called us originally, and there was kind of a challenge to sort out whose responsibility it was to take care of things. Since we own the property, it was taken on tax deed. Actually, the way statutes work, without getting into it, the bottom line is what this does, it transfers that ownership of that to the city. So going forward, they'll be able to maintain it, and they have the mechanism via state statute to actually charge back via special assessment to the homeowners in that area to make sure that pond, which was originally constructed to manage all the stormwater in that area, it's actually then funded by the folks that live there. So it ties up that loose end, which has been bouncing around for a few years as well. Those are all the major components, and we literally worked on this until about 4:30 on Friday evening, and then we knew we had to get it out for agendas and so forth. So we had a public works meeting Monday night where we went through this, and it was passed unanimously after some discussion. So that's an overview of things. It hits the high spots. If anybody's got any questions for Joe or I, we try to answer them.
Company up to questions?
I have one.
Supervisor Newton.
On the pond that you talked about at 65th Street, if this deal goes through, when is the ownership transferred to the city?
I think that is a quick claim.
It is. We don't have a specific date, but the intention would be that we would do it shortly after everybody signs off on this. We want to get it transferred to
after
the city.
After Thursday night it goes to the city, so after the city approves.
So within probably, let's say, the next 20 days or so?
That certainly would be our hope. I mean, we want to get it done. So.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure it was not
flow down.
2035, no.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions? Supervisor Gully?
On a normal year, what do we get from the city for the health fees? Like a pre-pandemic year?
A pre-pandemic year, it had been declining in some of the, like 3 years prior to the pandemic, their contribution was like $1.2 million, but then it had gone down to $1.1 million, and then the year before the pandemic, it was $900,000. So we had seen a decrease in their usage based on various factors, but the $900,000, I would have expected it to continue to trend down some, but I would use that as a ballpark.
And this fee schedule includes, it says, 2021 and 2022.
Because of COVID, 2021 and 2022 were weird years. 2021, budget year 2021, they made their payments. That's paid in full. 2022, the budget shows that they owe us $482,000, but in reality, we billed them for $30,000. So that goes away. I don't believe okay. That's been paid yet. And this fee schedule then just becomes the, everyone can budget based on this.
The only thing I would say is we had originally forecasted, and correct me if I'm wrong, Patty, but we had originally forecasted for 2023 that they'd be at about $525,000.
Right.
And then 2024, it would be lower as well because of the expected ARPA money coming in. So this contract bumps it up from the 525 to 700,000.
For the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, within it. All right.
Laura?
Yes.
I think this positive agreement, particularly if you are a city supervisor, it resolves a long-standing dispute between city and county government, which I think is positive. It's resolved in a lengthy agreement here with some other points, so at least I'm going to support this. I hope others do.
Thank you. Any other comments from anyone? Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second. Does each committee have to take its own motion, or can we do one motion, Joe?
You have to vote separately, but I think one motion is okay.
Second. Youth and Governance, I'll vote you. Aye. Human Services, I'll vote you.
Aye.
Aye.
Any disapproval? Seeing none?
The Finance Committee, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously.
Is there a motion on the floor?
Yes.
Yes.
Who made the original motion?
Andy Berg. Okay. And then was it Sharon?
No, I know.
Okay, I have the paperwork here. I will pass that around. Is there another business required by law? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.